This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is...
Bridget Ayer.
I know. I still have to bite my tongue. For years, I've been saying MJ Crowder. But for years before that, I was saying Bridget Ayer. But Bridget, welcome back to Catholic Radio. Still our new host.
Been here
for a while now. And boy, it is working out really well. We're really, really excited about it. I don't know that we've ever had... guests on Faith in Action. We've had lots of different guests, and they sometimes bring in different props.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've ever had anyone bring in anything like we have in the studio right now.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Well, my guest today is Leighton Drake, and he actually has two titles, probably actually three, because he's an awesome dad, because that's the most important title. But my guest today is Leighton Drake. He is the Director of Faith Formation for Junior High Ministry at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and he is also a lay evangelist in the ministry called Drawn to Life Ministries. Welcome, Leighton.
Thank you.
And actually, Leighton was just looking over my shoulder, and we were looking at a very beautiful picture that he drew. I love the title, Drawn to Life Ministries. But before I talk about that picture, why don't we talk about what is Drawn to Life Ministries? Talk about what that is.
Okay. So I've drawn all my life. When I was five, I started drawing a lot. And it's just always been a part of my life. And so a few years ago, my heart is the heart of an evangelist. I love evangelization and catechesis. And so I had an opportunity to do some drawings for a lady. I come from Phoenix. We moved here from there 5 years ago.
Okay.
And we had a lady, her name's Julie Carrick, and she's an amazing Catholic artist, musician. And so I did some drawings at some of her concerts, some of her performances.
Okay.
And it just kind of came alive. So she would play the music and I would do the drawings during the music. And it just was an audiovisual type of connection with people. And to be totally honest with you, when they first suggested it, Julie and her husband, Kurt, I was a little skeptical. Mm-hmm. I thought, it sounds a little gimmicky. I'm not sure if I liking this idea.
Yeah.
But I went to their house and she started playing music and her music is very beautiful. And very Christ-centered, and I just, it's like something turned on in my heart, you know. So I started drawing. So I started doing that several years ago, and then a couple of years before we left Phoenix, my wife Kim and I, she's the other side of Drawn to Life. I mean, she's...
Right, of course.
She's a lot of the heart and soul of it, and I'm the artist. She's the, you know, she does the management part of it.
Okay, got it.
We have our gifts.
Yes, exactly.
But
my husband has to corral me a lot too, you know, so it's, you know.
Yeah.
You could see that, right?
Yeah, I'm the motor mouth and I'm up there. I like to get up there and talk and everything. And she keeps my feet on the ground. So we started talking and we said, you know, what if we did a ministry where I would go and give talks? I love to get up and speak and tell stories and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And through the years through ministry, I'd had the opportunity to do that and develop that. And so we tried it. And so Drawn to Life basically is, I'm invited to a parish. I just did a mission for a parish in St. Louis recently. And so I'll go to the parish, and I actually presented at a conference there at the parish, and then I did a mission in the evening. But so what I'll do is I'll talk on a certain topic.
Okay.
And then at the conclusion of the talk, which will involve stories, a lot of stories, a lot of personal witness and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring catechesis and some theology to make a connection with people's lives. Like, what does this look like in my life?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, to take it from the head to the heart. And so that's what I do. And then at the conclusion of the presentation of the speaking, I'll typically, music will be playing and I'll do a drawing. And it takes me anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes to do the drawing. I have to work really quickly.
Wow.
I work in charcoal because it's a really good medium for what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And I try not to go in with preconceived notions. It's usually a face of Christ or something, and I've been told they always look different.
Wow. So you don't know what you're going to draw when you go in there?
I might have like a vague idea. So like if I'm going to give a talk on, just to throw it out there, like the intimacy with Christ or something, I might know that, well, it's probably going to be the face of Christ. Uh-huh. If I do something about the nativity, the incarnation, I might have Mary, like the drawing that I have in the studio right now. It might be the face of Mary. So I might have a vague idea, but I try not to like plot it out in my head. I really try to let the Holy Spirit work through it. So
if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Leighton Drake, who is a Catholic lay evangelist with Drawn to Life Ministries. And I want to, before we talk about this beautiful picture of Mary, I want to ask you about your own conversion because, okay, I know Leighton. I'm at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. My kids are actually, two of my children are in the youth program there with the junior high. And I've just known Leighton through being at the parish. And I didn't know until I read your bio on your Drawn to Life Ministries webpage that you were not always Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I want you to tell me how you, tell me a little bit about how growing up and maybe how you ended up, because I know Leighton as this, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, this just holy roller awesome guy who's very authentically in love with Jesus Christ. And it's very obvious in the way he carries himself, in his marriage, in his ministry, all that. I just noticed that about him. So it just kind of blew me away when I read that he was agnostic or didn't believe in God. So, or no, that's atheist. Or I don't know which one is it.
I was really agnostic. I was too much of a coward to be an atheist. I was like, I just wanted, just in case, you know,
just in case
if there's a God, you're not going to hold it against me. Cause how could I know? You know, that's kind of my attitude.
So I was really shocked when I read that. So I want to know how you got to where you're at now.
The short of it is I grew up in a home. My dad, God rest his soul, was very, I would go as far as to say he was antagonistic towards organized religion. He'd had some really bad experiences, some real struggles when he was a young man that really affected his view of religion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff he carried with him.
And we all know people that have had that experience, good, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's really happened or just their perception.
Exactly. And I think there was a mix. And I think that, so when I grew up, there was a lot of talk in my home about religion is weak. It's now I want to be clear because I might forget to say this. My father, before he died at 75 a few years ago, he had really softened. He'd really come to he'd really grown a lot and been humbled by life. But and I think maybe had enough healing where he was more open. And he'd seen what Catholicism had done in my life. So going back, growing up, going to church was not an option. We went a very few times to a Protestant. My family's all Protestant. Mm-hmm. On my mom's side.
We won't hold that against you. It's all the same Jesus, right? You know.
And yeah, that's right.
No apologies.
Yeah, and so I grew up with this sense. I believe so strongly, and I'm kind of passionate about this because of my own experiences, and even as a Christian, you know. Even as a Christian, sometimes losing my way and, you know, kind of like losing that sense of identity. But I'm so convinced that the struggles in our world today are because we don't know whose we are and who we are. I'm mm-hmm. always telling the young people, I work with children from preschool up to eighth grade in the parish. And
yeah, sorry about that. That's a correction.
No, that's fine.
I was just thinking junior high. It's the whole gamut there.
That's where you see me. That's
where I
see you.
See
me. And but the thing is, I'm always telling the kids, no matter what the age is, that you have to know whose you are and who you are. And I say that because I've been there where I've forgotten whose I am, or I've let that myself drift from that.
Whose are you?
I am the Lord's.
Just want to get that. Just
when
get
I was
out
baptized,
there.
I was made a beloved son of God. Praise God. So, but I grew up with no sense of identity in that. So everything I grew up, my dad had a very successful company. He also had some serious failures with his, I mean, we went through feast and famine, mm-hmm. but I grew up with this idea that my worth and meaning had to do with either how much money I had, who I knew, how popular I was, and all those things that a lot of us struggle with. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to find my identity in all the things I did, or, you know, how great an artist I was, or, you know, if I wasn't that great, then I felt like I was a loser. Mm-hmm. And I see this in young people a lot. And so I grew up with that idea. And my mother was a very quiet Christian. Like, she didn't go to church because it was such a miserable experience as the few times we went. My dad was just so, he'd get angry about it. Mm-hmm. And so my mom didn't go to church, but I knew she loved God, but I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no language for it in my house. And so I was fast forwarding. My parents got divorced when I was a young man. And then fast forward to when I was about 26 years old, I went to a mission in Sonora, Mexico. It was called the Casa Franciscana, and it was this Franciscan mission to the poor. And they served the poorest of the poor in Guaymas, Sonora, Mexico. And I'd never been down into Mexico, and I was terrified to go. I didn't speak any Spanish. But I was asked to go down to do drawings to use to promote the mission. Now, I didn't know what a Catholic was at this point. I didn't know who Jesus was. I knew that he was the Son of God, but I had no idea what that meant. Okay. And to me, God, I thought there was a God, but I was more like into the Star Wars idea of God. You know, he's like this impersonal force or something. I thought there had to be something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, things didn't just happen on their, you know, the universe and everything. But I became, I just thought, you can't know. My life was a wreck, in all honesty. I was in my 20s. I had two little girls by this point, and my life was a mess. I was just a wreck, and I was trying to seek happiness in all the wrong places. I was just lost, and again, you know, trying to seek it through success and through this and that. And so I go down to this mission. I say yes, and I go down, and the truth is, the lady that asked me to go, she knew I was a broken young man, and she cared about me, and she invited me. She was Catholic. Mm-hmm. I go down, and it was leading into Holy Week. And when I was 26 years old, and it changed my life. I'd never seen people just give up so much to love. These Franciscan friars and the lay people that would go down and give up time, a lot of retired people from Phoenix. And I was blown away. I'd never recognized love so powerfully. And I left there haunted by it. I do drawings down there. I draw the little kids. I couldn't speak their language, but they'd be following me around, and I'd be drawing them and doing little drawing caricatures, cartoons, and donated the drawings. But it changed my life because it opened the door. Now, looking back with the theological language, I recognized, for the first time, I encountered Christ there. I didn't have that language then. So I came back a couple years. I'm a hard sell. I started reading books. I was really fascinated by Buddhism, for instance. Started reading books into the night, reading, you know, on philosophy, on religion, and all these things. I was way, way out of my league. And I finally felt myself more and more drawn to the Catholic Church, and first to Christ, but then I just became convinced the church was founded by Christ and Peter. You can't get around that. Yeah. And I'm an all or nothing personality.
Yep.
I'm all in, either you're good or bad.
That's why we get along so well.
Yeah, that's right. We're passionate about it.
I'm very much on fire.
Oh my gosh. I'm all in, you know. I want to be all holy or all sin. I mean, and so I was like, no, I want to be the fullness of the faith. So I had an encounter with the Lord. I was embarrassed. This is right before I started, I became Catholic. But I wanted my life to change, and I wanted my heart to change. And I got down on my knees one morning. No one was at the house, and I just started blubbering like a child. And I said, God, if you're real, save me, help me. I'm lost, and I want to know you, and I want to know Jesus Christ if he's real. I mean, it was like an agnostic prayer, and I prayed. And for the first time in my life, I haven't had a lot of experiences where I've had these like, oh. You know?
Yeah.
But I had this experience.
Can you do that again? I really like that. But,
so I had this experience. The listeners don't get to see that.
I know.
But I had this experience.
He was raising his hands up too, like he was floating up.
Yeah.
So, you know, that,
and I
that
haven't
was good.
Had that too much. So I'm pretty earthly Catholic. But what happened was I felt a seed of hope in me. And again, using theological language today, I look back. I felt I was embraced by the Father. I knew it was like I knew the Father's love, but I didn't know how to name that. I just knew that I felt intensely, deeply loved by something I didn't understand. And so that motivated me to go, and I got involved in the RCIA program, became Catholic. By this time, I'm 28 years old. And my wife, who was Kim, was a former Catholic.
I want to know about her background too, and how that.
Yeah, her family kind of wandered from the faith when she was younger, and so Kim didn't go to church, and she
believed
in God.
But she was a baptized Catholic.
She was a baptized Catholic as a little girl, and what was really fascinating was, I was so self-centered, I didn't even remember that. She'd tell me about. In fact, a few years before, we'd walking by a Catholic church, and she said, "I wonder if we should start going to church." We were living in San Francisco at the time. And I said, and this is a true story, I said, you'll never catch me dead in a Catholic church. That's for weak people. Or in a church. That's for weak people. I didn't say Catholic. I didn't know what a Catholic was. And so, but interestingly, I start going through, and I would come home from RCIA, and of course, I was reading book after book. I was just soaking it in. Mm-hmm. And I had a priest that really was walking the journey with me, too. And I would share with Kim, so we'd be up in all hours, and I'd be sharing, this is what they believe, the sacraments about this, you know. And she started going through this experience, and then interestingly, she came back, and she went in, and she got confirmed. She had never been confirmed. And it's been a journey, you know, we've walked ever since, so.
Wow.
For 20-something years.
Wow, interesting, very interesting. We're going to have to take a break right here.
Okay.
We will be back in just a moment.
Start your weekend off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Join James Littleton for Forming Faithful Families at 9, followed by the pro-life message of I Choose Life at 9:30. Then enjoy today's music with a Catholic message at 10 on Catholic Jukebox Indiana. At 11 o'clock, we'll share an hour of Catholic thought and philosophy on the Catholic Cave. And at noon, it's time to grab a bite, sit back, and enjoy some food for thought with two episodes of Faith in Action. That's the Saturday morning lineup from your source for 100% Catholic programming, Catholic Radio Indy.
It makes me feel good. It makes me a joyful person.
Through you guys and the work that God does through you, it's brought joy to the people that I'm around because I'm a different person because of you guys.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
A rest stop from the everyday. A refueling station when you're running on empty. A full meal plan when hunger strikes. Stop in anytime. Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
All right, we're back. We're back here. I'm here with Leighton Drake, and we are talking about how God has moved in his life and how he uses his gifts and talents as an artist in the ministry called Drawn to Life Ministries. And I want to talk about how many drawings he's here in the studio, and we're looking at this beautiful charcoal drawing of the Blessed Mother. And I've seen quite a few of his drawings over the past couple years, and each one is so beautiful. And so just describe this.
Thank you. Well, it's hard to describe.
It is hard to describe. It's,
oh,
okay. So it kind of looks like the popular Medjugorje Mary. Mm-hmm. Talk about this drawing, and how many drawings do you have? How often do you draw? What's your inspiration?
Interestingly, I did freelance illustration for a number of years. I worked for an art company for when I was younger, and then I did some freelance illustration and everything.
Are you trained, or is this just...
Yeah, I'm trained in commercial art and in fine art. I don't consider myself a fine artist. I'm not a painter. I do watercolors and things. I do a lot of cartooning.
Mm-hmm.
People will go on my website, they'll see some cartoons. And
mm-hmm.
so that's
like
my passion. I love children's books and those sorts of things. I'm illustrating right now. I'm not going to say the title because it's we're still working on the contract or anything, but I'm working on a children's book. I mean, a book for adults, but I'm doing cartoons for it for a Catholic publisher. That's I love doing cartoons or anything. The drawings that, like the one I'm looking at right now, the one I brought in, it was one I did. It was one of those ones I did probably in about 12, 13 minutes in charcoal at a presentation I did. And I have very few of them because, frankly, it's my art. I just don't keep them around. I usually give them to somebody. Or
yeah, I was going to ask you, if you do these drawings.
Put them all over my walls now.
During these presentations.
That's what that would be me, you know.
What typically
you're
becomes
so
of
vain,
them?
Bridget.
So what becomes of them is, so we do a silent auction. And so someone can, people can bid on them and take them home with them. So like in St. Louis, it was that way, you know, people, someone really felt connected to it. The drawing is a realistic style drawing. It's not a cartoon. It's a realistic style drawing.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, I was trained in commercial art and in fine art, but I hated commercial art. It's just not my gift. Logos and all that stuff and design. I'm not a designer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of an illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And so this drawing is a realistic depiction of the Blessed Mother. And, you know, I try to, again, I'm having to work really quickly. So I look at it, and I'm like, oh, there's so many flaws or things like I need to fix on it. But I don't allow myself to do that. It needs to be a prayer experience that happens in the moment at the presentation, and then I'm done. And then someone can purchase it if they'd like. And sometimes I'll give it to somebody, you know. Now,
you mentioned doing this at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Are you available to do this or something similar at other parishes?
Oh, yeah. So I've done other parishes in other states and other dioceses. We started to do quite a few jobs in Phoenix before I left and some out of state. Then we moved to Indiana 5 years ago. And I was so focused because I had a pretty broad job at Our Lady, and I just got so focused on it that we kind of let the drawing to life. And so we're revitalizing, I guess, because I've just gotten several, just through Providence, people have reached out and said, hey, could you come to our parish? And so my wife and I did a marriage retreat in Florida. We've done a couple, but we did one not too long ago. That was an amazing experience where we actually gave a retreat to deacons for the Diocese of Orlando, Florida.
Now, how would people contact you if they wanted to talk to you about doing something at their parish or with their organization?
They would go on drawntolifeministries.com, and it has all our contact information there. It has the phone number and everything. Kim is the administrator, so they contact and they'll talk to Kim typically. And we'll just set it up. We work with parishes, you know, what their needs are. I have ideas, you know, like I have several talks, but I never go in like with a pre, you know, mm-hmm. I like to, because you never know what I've read in the last month or two that's really stirred
sure.
something in me. So
sure. Now, would your presentations be more geared for youth and young people or older folks?
All ages. I've talked to elderly people. I've talked to youth. I am at heart. I have a connection. Like Bridget mentioned, I work with junior high at our program, and I'm not a spring chicken, but I just connect with young people. I love their enthusiasm, their curiosity.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about
young people. I love junior high too. That's another thing that we
I know.
Have. It's a certain
freaks. We're freaks.
Because I know.
People always told me, don't get involved with her.
Yeah.
But I love it because they're so authentic, I think, more than we are as adults, because I think we wear so many masks. And I know I struggle with that. It's like, how do I present myself? And, I want people to think I'm this kind of cat. And the thing is that they're not afraid to ask hard questions. I had an incredible small group last night where they were asking some really intense questions. And I love that about them. So anyway, that's an answer to your question. I talk to all ages. We talk to married couples. I talk to young adults, I talk to kids, I can talk to children, to families.
Parish mission.
Yeah. I have a passion for adult ministry because I see that as being such a struggle in our church today.
Mm-hmm.
We've really got to connect the dots for people because, again, we have all the theology. We have some amazing evangelists out there right now.
Yeah, we do.
Amazing. This is a springtime of the church.
Absolutely.
And we've got to connect with people and help them see. I always look at it as my job is to help people see what a treasure we have.
Absolutely. And so if you want to have the treasure called Leighton Drake come over to your parish, you want to get in touch with him at www.drawntoliferministries.com. and you would be glad to draw them some pictures and
talk
about Jesus. So one last thing, we've got about 2 minutes left. One thing that struck me is that how you're using your gifts and talents to really glorify God. Could you give like a 2 minute plug for people to do that and how they know what they need to be doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think, first of all, like a holy priest friend of mine, Father David, is always reminding me, you have to stay rooted in your identity. When you lose that, so whatever you do, not everyone's going to work for the church.
Sure.
And I haven't always worked for the church, and I may not always work for the church as far as, you know, I think I always do evangelization. But whatever you do, whether you're an attorney, a lawyer, or you manage a restaurant, or you work at, you know, whatever, everything you do, if you see it rooted, everything you do, like the church teaches us, is the mission field. So everywhere I'm at, I'm in the mission field. And if I don't stay rooted in my identity in Christ, so we call it RIM, relationship, identity, and mission. If I don't stay rooted in my relationship with Jesus Christ, which gives me my identity, by baptism, I am a beloved child of God. From that flows my mission. And when I, in my own personal life, have gotten that mixed up, when I've tried to find my identity the other way around it through what I'm doing, I get lost. And I forget who I am, and then it becomes about me. And that's when... You know what I mean?
Yep.
So stay rooted in who you are, pray, and give it to God. Glorify God by your works. And when you fail and you stumble and you fall on your face, and get back up and have the courage to go to confession and ask for forgiveness and get back and then make it about Him again.
So the closing words are stay rooted in Jesus Christ.
Amen, yeah.
And thank you, Leighton, so much for being our guest today.
Bridget.
We wish you much success and God bless you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
Renewing minds.
Got my eyes off my worries and onto God.
Transforming lives.
It's amazing that one word can just transform you, that word that you want to hear.
Catholic Radio Indy.